This is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. We are all now living through a difficult time. More than ever, we are being called to turn toward the light of Christ and to follow Him. So our work doesn't stop. In fact, it's more important than ever. Please consider making a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, between now and Divine Mercy Sunday, April 19th, to help support our efforts to offer spiritual guidance, love, and hope to the world. Hit the donate button at discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the Discerning Hearts free app. Thank you from all of us at Discerning Hearts, and God bless. Discerning Hearts now brings you, during this Lenten season 2020, which is occurring during the global coronavirus pandemic, a daily reflection by Monsignor John Essif. Over the course of the next 30 minutes or so, he will reflect in the beginning on the scriptures of the day, and then we will have a conversation about what is occurring in the world, in the church, and in our own personal lives. We now present Monsignor John Essif.
To talk to you, and how are you doing today?
Wonderful. Thank you. Very good.
Good.
I'm getting a lot of calls, you know, people who I haven't heard from in a long time. And they'll say, well, how are you? You know, and almost like amazed that I'm still alive. But it's just good to hear them. Now, this has given a lot of people time to just check up on others. Yeah.
Well, it is. I mean, I think the things we took for granted.
Yeah.
And everything from not only our family and loved ones who we're concerned about, but also, you know, just the little things, meeting friends, gathering at your favorite restaurant, talking to your favorite servers, and being able to go to the park and not have to worry about the person who's walking near you if they're too close. Just, you know, a lot of the little things, just the being able to say hi to the mailman in a way that, you know, you've got to keep a distance. And even going to the mailbox, you have to be careful now about how you grab a letter out of the mailbox. Because then you have to wash your hands after you open that. You have to get rid of everything. Life has so dramatically changed at this point that it's the little things. And, I think there's, you know, I hope at one point you might be able to talk to us about grieving that. I mean, we have to grieve and let go of the life that we had before. And we didn't realize how much we cherished it, the blessings. And grieving's real. I mean, grieving the loss of someone, absolutely. But there are the little griefs, but it's still pain. It's still a suffering.
And I myself am experiencing those, and yet because of what was I doing before the coronavirus? What was I doing personally? You know, I was seeing people who would take 5 days to reflect and to pray. There would take 8 days, and there would be bishops, priests, there would be people who would want to take this time to pray. That's what I was doing as a normal. And they would come to my Mass, and I would really kind of congratulate them that in this mad extroverted world, they would come and take this time to be quiet and to reflect, and they go into this deep silence and interiority. Now it is given to everyone. Almost all of us have this opportunity to come and pray. And it's really amazing. And one of the things that I really felt is so important. You see, with the cancellation of classes, with the cancellation even of church, with the cancellation of work, with the cancellation of so many of those things that give us this time, and then taking us into this same quiet and isolation, and yet as you know, has it still brought us to our knees? It's brought us to quiet, but has it brought us to the point where we can now reflect on our life and on God? Today, I really see this as a tremendous opportunity for us to go back and maybe to learn how to pray. In this madly extroverted world of ours, how can we go into our inner self and learn to pray? And who are there that is going to teach us to pray? Since this is what I was doing so often, this is what I was doing this on a daily basis. And now so many of us have that opportunity to pray, to actually pray. And I think so many of us are losing this opportunity because we don't know how to pray. And we don't see prayer as for what it is. And what is that? It is that the only one, at least for a Christian, the only one who knows how to pray is Jesus. When I, as a child or as an adult, was baptized into Christ Jesus, he came to live in me. When the doors of St. Peter were closed, when many of our churches were closed down, and when we were told, now this is the real presence in the church, but we have forgotten, and this is the time that we can recall, and for the benefit of all mankind, every human being, what is the origin of this baptism? You see, today in the scriptures, God makes a covenant with man. The first man that God spoke to after the sin of Adam and Eve was Abraham. Abraham, Abraham. And he called him and he made a covenant with him. And he took this little kind of nothing people. He was going to make of them a nation. And it was from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their 12 children that he was going to make great nations. And we learn this in the 17th chapter of Genesis. Way back, God was planning to save us. And was he going to do it through Abraham? No, because his plan, and although we didn't know it at the time, was to send his son, Jesus. And he came into the world 2,020 years ago. And Jesus said about this little nation from which he came, he was Jewish, and so was his mother. And out of this little nation now is going to come the Messiah. All the patriarchs and the prophets led up to him. And then he's here today. And in John 8, he says to us today, before Abraham came to be, you knew Abraham, you're not yet 50 years old. Before Abraham came to be, I am. I was sent by my Father into this world to save mankind. Not only did I suffer and die and rise, and conquer sin and Satan and death, in me, myself, I went back to heaven and I wanted to bring, now listen to this, this is how Christians pray, but I don't think they know it, that I am in you. Every single baptized person is Jesus. Not that church where you only are now being locked out of St. Peter's or your local church. But we have so forgotten that the prayer takes place in us and through us and with us. because he is in us and with us and through us. He is me, and you are him. You have come into him, and he into you. You're not going to change his words. You're not going to change his prayer. Through you and with you and in you. And if you let him live in you, no matter who you are. And you know, I hear some evangelists when they talk, I've got to strive. I've got to do this. I have to pray. I have to fast. I have to. No, there's nothing you do. Jesus says in 15 John, I am the vine. You are the branches. Now you're in me and I in you. And if it's not bearing fruit, I'm going to prune you. That's exactly what he's doing with this coronavirus. He's pruning us. The hand of the Father is here, taking away those branches that do not produce fruit. And now he's going to, what is he doing with the vine? He's making it healthy. He is in you and through you and with you. I can actually pray at home in my own bed when I get up in the morning. With my wife, I can pray. With my children, I can pray. In my contemplation as a religious, I can pray. There are so many that don't know that. And you know, Chris, I am so peaceful and happy when you have called me and I have been given this opportunity. What I used to do for just 5 days, now I have like till the end of April, and I'm pretty sure, and I hope to with you be able to each day teach people how to pray. That it is not my prayer that saves me. It is not my novenas. It is not my rosary. It's through him who is in me. He wants to pray in me and through me. What a magnificent thing it is when you wake up in the morning to say to the Father, because you are his child, to say to the Father, what do you want to do today? What do you want me to do today? What is the kind of prayer that you want from me, Father? You see, as you are relating now, it's to God because you are his child. I cannot pray as the one who is the slave or even as those who were the Jews. They were not yet children. Even John the Baptist was not a son of God until through Christ and in Christ and with Christ, he became one with him. When he was beheaded in the prison, he was like all the other Old Testament patriarchs and prophets. They had to go to the underworld. And so did Elijah. And so when they came back to visit Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah and the one who came to see him, the prophet, the lawmaker Moses, they were glad to see his day. But it wasn't until he went up that other mountain that he was going to be able to reveal the love that he had for each of us who is a Christian, because you are him in the world today. I really am so happy. And you know, the truth about how to pray is the truth about how to recognize his presence within us. And it's through him and with him and in him that even in your suffering, supposing today you're the one who has maybe not the virus, or maybe you have cancer, or whatever else you have, or maybe you're out of work and you're worried about your family. The same relationship that he, Jesus, has with his Father, you have. And so the same trust that's in him is in you. The same love that is in him is in you. And so the sins that we commit and the kind of length and journey that we're walking is that we fail to trust in him, and we're trusting in ourselves. And this particular Lent, God has come down. How often in the past, and how often has he allowed the scourges and the sufferings and the pains of mankind all over the world? Your brothers and sisters are all suffering. They're suffering this in China. They're suffering this in every place in the world today. And they're actually, the prayer is that the whole world has been awakened by this coronavirus to see that it is only through him and with him and in him that mankind will be saved. He did this saving act in the year 33. And he is saving us through his passion. And each of us is allowed, to the extent that God is giving us, to unite my suffering. There's no one is suffering. The children that are going through and listening, that, and I really believe there are children listening to us. You can take the sacrifice of your not going to class, the high school students. You can unite those uncertainties with regard to your classes and your activities. You can unite your sufferings with his, this Paschal mystery. There are many of you in high school. There are many of you in college and are facing tremendous anxieties and difficulties and how to pay back your loans and how to get a job and what to do at this time. And if we could learn how to pray, and as you're dealing with your relationships with others, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, the difficulties you may be having at this time, and the uncertainties with regard to your job. Every one of us have a sacrifice to make. And you may not be able to go to Mass this Sunday, or maybe you're not going to be able to go to the celebration of Easter. But each of us can have not just our passion and death, but our resurrections. The sacrificial life of Jesus Christ, the dying of Christ. And it, when I die or I live, I am the way and the truth and the life. When John says in that chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. And in me, and with me, Paul says, everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. And Mary was told by the angel, with God, all things are possible. You see, because God and the very nature of God is that I am the source, and I am the very center of life. I am the way and the truth and the life, says Jesus. The Holy Spirit, during this particular period of time, is sanctifying and transforming the entire universe into one body. We, who are the church, are meant to be like a light, because Jesus is light from light, true God from true God, and he's in us. And he wants to radiate, just as he did on the Mount of Transfiguration. To each one of us, he wants to radiate into the world. And he it is that is that light. I am the light of the world. And we let him and permit him. It's more a passivity that's in prayer. When I permit him to work through me and with me and in me, as my day unfolds, as your activities unfold today, we can radiate that light of Christ in every act that we have. Eating breakfast, even whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, even in your sleep, you can radiate Christ, because you can do it with him and through him and in him. He wants to use each of us. And think of the time that we just absolutely waste, our time, so that at this time, one of the greatest things that can happen through with the, I'm not saying the coronavirus is doing it, but the time we have, the opportunity we have, and the inspirations of the Holy Spirit who are working in every part of the world, that in prayer is that glory of God that we give to God. We are his creation, and through Jesus we are his redemption, and now we can become, at this time, if we learn how to pray and cooperate with him and through him and in him.
Monsignor?
Yes?
For many people out there, they're very excited about this opportunity. I mean, not necessarily about what brought us to this point. That's difficult. But to bring something, allow God to use it to bring something good in our lives. And what many of them would say, okay, I want to get started. I hear what you're saying. What's the practical steps I can take today? You know, especially for guys, they want to know, what can I do? I know it's not about their self-reliance, but what steps, what can lead them in that movement today? Would you have them read scripture? Would you have them journal? Would you have them just take 15 minutes? I mean, I think that would be very helpful for people.
I really wonder, you know, and this might be saying more than they can do, but I'd rather ask for more than less. And if you can't do more, then do less. But wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of our listeners would pick up the scriptures today and look at the text in the Mass and pray that text? You see, every Lenten liturgy is preparation for Easter. And I couldn't give you anything more practical with regard to the texts that are very much there. Like, if you would go back and in a practical step, look at Genesis 17 and read that text that's in the scripture. That who was Abraham? You know, some of us have never picked up the scriptures, and we need a guide, someone to help us, which I would be very happy to for the next days. And I've been slightly referring to scriptures because I really would like to reach out and touch those where they're hurting in the coronavirus. But if you want to learn how to pray, then it's the Word of God that comes alive. And who was this Abram? and the father of the Jews. And he is now, if somebody said to me yesterday, you know, who's on retreat, I immediately sat down and I looked up in the notes. You know, he was 90 years old, and God said that he was going to have, he didn't have any relatives, 90 years old, and I'm going to have you have a family. And how, you know, 90 years old, you know, that's like, yeah, you can have it. You can have a child. And it's his generativity. And he believed what God said. He believed what God said. The fantastic faith that Abraham had. And even when that boy, if you read it, just read this text, and it brings with it this trust that the father of this nation had. He believed what God had said to him. Then even when he had Isaac, he believed that when God said, I want you to sacrifice him to me, when he was 12 years old, and he had the knife actually to offer him to God, because it was God who had said this. And I, you know, what Jesus is the Father sending us his Son to be killed. And he didn't hold back his hand and give us a ram in place of Jesus. He gave us Jesus himself so that he could be in me. What was this faith that he, and then what I'd like you to do is to look at that text also in Scripture, where it's the 8th chapter of Jesus as he is talking to the crowds as well as the people in his time. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word, because that's what you're doing now, will never see death. So they said to him, now we are sure that you are possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never see death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me. And he did. He not only raised him up to life and had him conquer death and conquer sin, because the Father sent him to do this on the cross. He is our God. Whoever glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God, you do not know him, but I know him. If I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham, you see, was there and is there in the underworld, waiting for salvation. There was no salvation. He was there with Sarah, and he was there buried, and with Isaac and with Jacob. He's the God of the living, because Jesus brought them to life. They are alive now because of what I did. I suffered and I died and I rose. And now I listen to Jesus here, and especially if when you're praying. He is in me telling you this. You see, he who is at the right hand of the Father in heaven is in me on earth, and he is in you. And as you begin to learn that he is a specific Jesus in you, that he is not in me, then you will begin to see, as many of those who come on retreat with me see, that they begin to teach me, because I need them to become the full body of Christ, as well as they need me. It is him through them. And many of my retreatants and many of the people that I teach now teach me, because Christ is in each of us in a way that he is not in me. That I have had the distinct pleasure and power and grace of having Mother Teresa in retreat, and that I have been with her, and she has reflected Jesus to me as a canonized saint, that I have had the power and the grace to have Padre Pio in my life, to reflect each of us, is you are in living connection with every one of the saints, because every one of the saints is Jesus. They were Christ in their time, and you are Christ in this time. And without you being Christ in this day, Christ is not being radiated into the world now. And I would like to do this each day, to have you read the scriptures and reflect them in the way you do, and in the reflection that if you open yourself up, and as you pray, one of the instructions that I always give is first address the Father. It's the Father that Jesus was always looking at. And you look at him and ask him for the grace today. Lord, Father, teach me who I am. If that's what it is that you want, what is that deepest desire that you have in your heart today? Each one of us, even if you're husband and wife, you may have different desires. You're even brother and sister in the same family. You may have different desires, different needs, different longings, because the Spirit is in each one of you, reflecting and crying out for some specific need. It is the Father who is in you, and Jesus who you are, and the Holy Spirit who is creating you each uniquely and specifically. And it's Mary who is your mother. Just as she is the mother of Jesus, she is your mother. And so you and Jesus are one, and you are one in him, and he in you.
Monsignor, when they've stopped and reflected on and prayed with the scripture of the day, which can be found, if hopefully you have a Bible, but if not, if you're online listening, you might have access to the internet so you could find the scripture readings. USCCB.org, for example, is the website for the United States Council of Catholic Bishops, always has the readings, but there are other numerous sources that people can find what's to be said at Mass. But once they've done that, how should they receive that? I mean, should they take time to ponder it longer? Should they write it out? Should they, I keep going back to journaling, but should they just, what would you have them do if they were on retreat with you?
I would like each one, because now you're in isolation and it's so easy to find just a space, you know, a little space for yourself. I would like if each one of you in your either your bedroom or where you would be able to set up a little altar, maybe have a crucifix and maybe have an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, maybe an image of Saint Joseph, or maybe, and certainly your rosary. And I believe as you begin to pray with these scriptures, if you would first place yourself in, you see, don't just start plunging into prayer. Prayer is a relationship. And some of you may not recognize that God is present, but he is. And he's right in your room, or he's right there where you're gathered to pray. Get in a position, sit in a chair, if that's where you're comfortable. Are you comfortable kneeling? Well, then do that. Are you comfortable standing up? Wherever or whatever position or posture is most comfortable for you. And then as you begin your prayer, as you go into your inner self, pray in the presence of the relationship with your Father. Don't just plunge into the prayer without seeing anyone. Prayer is not just talking into a dark room. It's who is the Father for you? Get an image or some face of the Father. Ask the Father and to let you be in his presence. Be in the presence of the Father first. He is the first one, because Jesus always, because he is in you, and the Holy Spirit will assist you here, orient you. Remember, he is you, and you aren't doing this on your own. He is there within you and helping you as you come to the Father. Now, maybe it's just a blank. Maybe it's just an empty space. But it's all that you can bring. Or maybe it's the kindest person you ever met or received the most love from. Many times what I've discovered, can I pray tell you this? That I have discovered that the father of a family, since that's the word he used, is the one who has most damaged this person who's praying. It's their father. The wounds and the hurt that most children have, that I have met over my 67 years of priesthood, and especially those years I have had in teaching prayer, the Father is the biggest wound. So many times it's just someone who has loved you. Maybe a coach, maybe a priest, maybe someone in your life that you felt loved you, and you have this person who's like a father to you. And so the relationship is that which Jesus had on the Father. The Father. The Father. God, through that love, is turning him, Jesus, to the Father. Then see Jesus and all that you think and know of him, and especially if you have a picture of him, Jesus, the Sacred Heart, the Divine Mercy, whatever that be, of Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's a dove. Maybe it's just love itself. Or maybe it's fire. Or maybe it's just a wind. Whatever it might be. And then an image of Our Lady. Place yourself in this order and in this way in the presence of God. Then, as you want, whatever that is you want of them, ask it of the Father, ask it of Jesus, ask it of the Holy Spirit, and ask it of Mary. Because prayer is faith, and you have the faith in the Trinity and in Our Lady and her power to pray for you. And as you begin this prayer, then after this, take up the scripture and begin to read it. And to the extent you can, just talk to God about that scripture. Well, I don't know much about Abraham, Father, or I do know this, or I would like to learn this. And during the time that you're reading, and some people find it very helpful to journal. And so even if you have a little desk or something that you have there, or a kneeling device, just to begin to write some of your thoughts that you want to say to him. And every once in a while, just say that either to the Father or to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit or to the Blessed Mother. Then this is probably the most important part after you have read whatever you have read. Listen. Because you are in relationship with a living God. Listen. He more wants to talk to you than anything that you have in wanting to talk to him. His desire for you, I think he's jumping up and down at the thought that you might say hello to him after all this time that he's been trying to get your attention. Look at me. Listen to me. I love you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to listen to him. He wants to communicate with you. You see, prayer is communication. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is love, and it's receiving it. It isn't what you give God. It's what he wants to give you. And he has given you the greatest gift, his Son. And he wants his Son to, through you and with you and in you, have the relationship with him.
Final thought, Monsignor?
I'd like to just pray, as if you do look up the text of the Mass, you'll see it's Psalm 105. The Lord remembered his covenant forever. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Recall the wondrous deeds that he has wrought, his portents and the judgments he utters. You are the descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. God bless.
Thank you so much, Monsignor. I hope you have a really good day.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Right, bye-bye. You've been listening to Reflections by Monsignor John Essef, Lent 2020. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com, and in particular, please share this particular reflection with them during this difficult period in the life of the church and of the world. And join us next time for Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.